God. Glory to God. This is a special day. I'm so glad that we could all be here. And blessings also on those joining us by means of Facebook and other media outlets. We speak blessing on you as we speak blessing on Jerusalem. This is, as Michael shared, multiple thousands of churches around the world have made this a special Sunday where we focus on shalom, blessing, peace, speaking good things for Jerusalem across the nations. And God Himself has instructed us, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love thee. All the people who love, we send blessing to them. We appreciate Bishop Robert Stearns, our good friend, many, many, many years ago, almost 38 years ago, I've lost count, but I was doing the healing service at the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem, and the organizers, somehow the worship team didn't show up. It did not seem like it had been already. I really can't speak because I didn't know. But suddenly out of the blue came this young man, Robert Stearns, and at the age, I think he was just barely 20 or 21. He was already losing his hair, so you could, how did he look? Well, he's my dear, dear friend, so we tease each other. But he had a tremendous burden for Jerusalem and making people conscious around the world, like we do. And God blessed our ministry and our efforts during that time of the late 70s and early 80s that we were instrumental with some other servants to raise millions of dollars to help the Jewish people who had been under persecution in Russia and in the East European nations, to help arrange transportation for them as the opportunity was given. In the midst of persecution, they could go to Israel. In fact, the Israeli government, we were some of the people who were privileged to be able to meet the first flight of the refugees that flew out from Russia and the East European nations. So this ministry and this church has had a part to play in all of this that's happening. So it's such a joy that we can together just sing as loud as we can the blessings of God on Jerusalem. In that context, I want us to remember also that our president, the President of the United States, President Trump, and the First Lady, Melania Trump, who have been very instrumental in helping urge and the U.S. Embassy in Tel Aviv for nearly 70 years had been still remaining in Tel Aviv. There would always be people, voices, president especially, would say, well, we'll do this, we'll do it, but nobody did it until President Trump, this president, urged and arranged for the embassy to be moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Well, this is scriptural, to do good to Israel and bless Jerusalem. And there is a promise. God has said, I will prosper those who love thee. So we had last year, we were able to take a group to Jerusalem, and one of the first things that was a priority in my heart was to go and bless the building. For the first time in 70 years, we were able to, from Jerusalem, from our embassy there say blessings and shalom on Israel and on Jerusalem. And you may wonder, why not London? Why not Buenos Aires? Why not Bombay? Well, the Word of God says, if you bless Jerusalem, all these other blessings will come. And it's the place for us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the place Jesus is going to be returning. And for 1,000 years, we'll be ruling from Jerusalem. And there are all kinds of wonderful prophetic words about the end times and what God is doing. So we are living in a special time. So it really moved us on Friday night while we were watching and praying and singing songs that we heard. There was an announcement where the president felt like he was going through the symptoms of the COVID-19 virus. And so the medical authorities helped him fly to Walter Reed Hospital where he is. And so as we take communion in a few moments, I want us to focus our prayers first of all on our president, President Trump, and the First Lady, Melania Trump, and the Trump family that the Lord will protect. It was kind of strange and almost like more things were involved than we could see. But we bind in the name of Jesus every supernatural attack. We bind any demonic power that have been involved in trying to infect the president and his team and people at the White House. So we put shields of protection as we prepare to take communion here with the body and the blood of Jesus. We know God hears our prayer, and we break any attack, any curse.
Amen.
In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. And speak only blessing and Amen. Healing. So even today and the coming hours and the coming days, we pray healing, swift healing for our president, for the First Lady, for all the members of his family and members of the White House. And also we speak covering and blessing on our Vice President Pence and his wife. And may the Lord give supernatural help. And as we are praying in this way, it's appropriate that we remember, I will remind you that as we started this fast, corporate fast, we have shared before that it is the most powerful weapon in our arsenal as a believing church of Jesus Christ. When a church together fasts and prays, there is nothing more powerful in the universe than that power that's released in that way. And we are doing it. And we find in the book of Esther, among many others, Ezra, Esther, Daniel, you can go on and on, Jehoshaphat, others who prayed and fasted and called the nation to fasting and interceding before the Lord. So we are fasting, we are praying, some of us. And by the way, if you've not had a chance yet, join us. Choose a day or two or a week. We still have a few days, and we have a month before the election. This is a very important election that we are going to choose our next president and the team of people, the governors, senators, members of the House and the Senate that will be chosen. So it's extremely important that we keep on continuing to pray that this is we're not going to let go. It's like, you know, the people who will not let go of the garment of Jesus. Lord, unless you bless us, we won't let you go. And bless America, Lord. Continue to bless its economy so we can prosper. And this nation in its history, we have been always a blessing. and never a curse. We have always helped people, fed people, poor people, those who have gone through disasters. America has been the most generous. And so we want to take note of these on this day of prayer for the peace of Jerusalem. May peace also and blessing come. It's like almost a mirror, but may it also be mirrored by the Lord's blessing on America, on its economy. And as we say shalom, peace on Jerusalem, may shalom also reverberate over our cities, over all the major cities of the United States, that we will see peace. The mob violence and hatred and murder and all kinds of acts that are repugnant to God, that those will cease. We pray special protection for babies. We pray that abortion will be smitten. So in this time, I just want to point out some of those major intercessory points. We want to bless the candidacy of Amy Coney Barrett, the judge, that in the next few weeks, people will decide. We want to bind every negative voice, and may there be a blessing so this judge will be approved. So many things are coming together, and I want us to really, really focus on these, some of these major intercessory needs. But at the same time, I want you to realize that in Leviticus 20 and 16, and other scriptures, as the Lord gives us instruction. Now, the ultimate sacrifice is Jesus. So, but these are customary things that were done for thousands of years. And I would point out a couple of scriptures here. In the Gospel of John, chapter 7, you find, it says, verse 37. And it's so exciting for me, I could preach on that for weeks. But it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, and that is the Feast of Tabernacles that they are talking about. Jesus is there on the Feast of Tabernacles in the temple, and he stands up and says, in that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. But we don't get enough of that word. The word is, he shouted with all his might and said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So this is a promise by the resurrected Savior. In a few days he will be resurrected. He'll have gone through the cross and been buried and then resurrected on the third day. This Jesus, who is coming back as the Alpha and Omega, as the Jehovah, captain of armies, our leader, the Lord of glory, that he stands during the Feast of Tabernacle on that final day and says to the nations, not just those people, his word comes to us, a promise. If you're thirsty, come to me and drink. And then the Lord, in Acts chapter 1, we find he releases the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 2, you see the working out of the Holy Spirit just zapping people full of his might, anointing that breaks the yoke. So that's why we are taking special note of all these other different things. And we're going to stand in the gap as believers for our president and the elections, that may those who love life, may those who are not for abortion, those who are supportive of Israel and the blessings involved in Jerusalem, that these are the people who will be elected. So we're not so much pointing towards politics, but we are pointing towards the Word of God and the promises of God Himself. So that's what guides us as we look at the coming election.
Amen. Pastor, as you were talking, I was thinking again of, in the context of, Derek taught us that prayer, Lord, give us leaders such that it will be to your glory, to give us, the people of God, the victory through them. And yesterday, we'll hear a little more about, but the Lord gave us a tremendous, tremendous response to our prayers and our labor here in the city, together with the worship team and many other churches and leaders here. But part of the prayer that I prayed yesterday in the public square, and we had hundreds of folks who came out to join us, was from the prayers of Dr. Martin Luther King. And he said this, he prayed, Lord, give us leaders who will live above the fog in public duty and private thinking. And how appropriate that is, how appropriate. He went on in this prayer, give us leaders whom the lust of office does not kill, the spoils of life cannot buy, whose opinions and will are arrested by honor, who will not lie and can stand before impassioned ignorance, which we see all around us right now. Impassioned, who can stand before impassioned ignorance and condemn treacherous flatteries without winking. Just, clear-headed, clear-eyed, with pure hearts. And we, as a nation, we need this restoration desperately. We've been, the pandemic has been really a terrible and awesome time. It's like two sides of the same coin, because it has created so much opportunity for the people of God. More than ever before, we're seeing, especially if we're talking about our own nation, in this nation, the pandemic has really made opportunity for the church and for believers more than ever before. And it has also given opportunity to doubly expose a lot of what has been previously hidden works of darkness that has seeped its way into our political system and so much of our governance and governing and educational ideas and all of that. And so we have this very strange season here in our nation that has, from the beginning of the year, been troubled by violence in many cities, by protest after protest, by the exposing of how our public education system has completely betrayed our national trust and stewardship, frankly, by indoctrinating almost two generations now of our university students in particular, but it's seeped into our, primary education and high school education now, to literally teach our children to hate this nation. And so many of these things, when Dr. King said, give us leaders who will not lie and who can stand before impassioned ignorance and call it out without a wink, so many of these things are clearly revealed now. And at the same time, God is answering. In California, it's the churches are specifically targeted for literal persecution now in California, where there's no gathering, no singing, keep the churches totally shut down. But it just shows you that traditionally, the church was always an essential part of the American idea and way of life. But in many hearts and in many parts of our nation and our national psyche and thinking, the church receded and has in many places kind of evaporated in terms of an essential reality of families' lives. And all the more as this darkness has increased over the last few decades, suddenly in this moment, this year, the church is shining brightly. The church is the focus. It's the focus of controversy. It's the focus of testimony. There are thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of believers that are praying and fasting and holding worship services out of doors. So it's a really amazing and exciting and a beautiful time. And as we've also celebrated several of the major biblical feasts during this time, I looked at the Kotel Live, the Western Wall Live camera, the last couple of days. And traditionally, during this time of year, it'd be filled with people. And, you know, we've been there so many times with the sukkahs and everyone under the sukkahs sharing food and fellowshipping together and rejoicing and praising the Lord. And it's not that this year. The Kotel is essentially empty. They've, you know, got partitions where if you worship together in a synagogue already, apparently you can have little personal, you know, gatherings to some degree at the wall there. But the guys are going around, you know, spraying, but there's no people there because Israel is in lockdown again. So literally around the world, we are in a most unusual season where hearts and faces are turned upward no matter where you're from or what even your religious belief is. Everywhere, people are looking up, calling out for deliverance and for help and salvation. So when Jesus, which will be at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, Simchat Torah, the joy of the law, when Jesus made that declaration, I think more than ever in my lifetime, at this time of year, how pertinent and real are the words of Jesus saying to the world, to the nations, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink, for out of his belly there will be this personal transformation, a visitation, a unique event that will occur. And of course, he was speaking of the accomplishment of his finished work and the fact that believers, all believers, would be filled with the third person of the Godhead, which that in and of itself is such an astounding reality. So be encouraged and re-embrace afresh that the sovereign Lord has put you on like a glove as you have believed in Jesus, and that he is indwelling you completely and flowing out of you in your words, in your thoughts, in your prayers, in your actions, in your outreach. And he has given you power and authority over demonic principalities. He has anointed you as ministers of reconciliation to preach the gospel of good news. And at this particular time, what an opportunity we have. So I was looking again at some of the scriptures, and the story of Feast of Tabernacles stands out to me in scripture in four particular places, and Jesus' event is the third, but in obviously the first in Psalm 122, which is one of the Songs of Ascents, which is a litany of a number of the psalms that the priest would sing as they ascended the steps into the temple during the Feast of Tabernacles. And the prayer for Jerusalem is right there in the middle of it. And you could say that it's a selfish prayer, because David said, I'm praying this because as I pray this, blessing comes on my family, my brethren, on my city, on my household. And then in Zechariah and Revelation, which sandwich Jesus' event, it's very interesting because God makes it very clear that all the nations will be called up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, which is something astounding. And I don't know how many nations in the world right now know that there will be a day when every nation will be commanded to celebrate this feast in Jerusalem. And God says the ones who won't come are going to receive a curse. The ones who come are going to receive a blessing. And then, of course, in Revelation, where we see the Feast of Tabernacles of all things, it's the ones who have come through the great trials, have washed their robes in white, and they're there with their palm branches, the lulav, waving and praising the Lord in Revelation 7. So this feast, this time of year, is throughout our prophetic scripture. And it's very significant because it does speak of the final ingathering, the harvest of souls, which we are fortunate and blessed to be a part of because Jesus has chosen to reveal himself to us.
So the Feast of Tabernacles is not only important to those people at that time in history, but even today, the emphasis, what's important in Scripture and what's important to Jesus, is vital for us today, that we continue to shine.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of each of us here and want to say that the Lord commends you, because in this hour, at this time in prophetic history, you are letting the Lord shine through.
Yeah.
Whichever way we can, and that we can be together as community. You find, as you take note on many scriptures, that the devil is very afraid of us and our togetherness. That the devil has not been successful in isolating us. It is wise for us to get the wisdom from the Lord. And number one, I want to point out, in every scripture where the Lord gives instruction to the people what to do to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, he is telling us, gather in the Sukkahs, that is the temporary dwelling place. And we have built one here as an example during this time. So when at the end of our time here, if you have a moment, wander through that you have spent some time in a sukkah. Sukkah is a temporary dwelling place. But the children of Israel, as they were delivered from the curse of slavery for 400 years, they were able to go out. And for 40 years, the Lord protected them. And the Lord oversaw that no weapon formed against them could prosper. And that part of that indication is just this sukkah, that you could put palm fronds on the top that we have done here. And, of course, for many years, Bonnie and I would be in Jerusalem and enjoy going to different people's homes. That was one thing that they would love to, they would beg you to come to their sukkah.
Yeah.
So I've had a lot of coffee, even when I didn't need it, being in the sukkahs of different people, and they love it, that they can have fellowship and they could share stories and testimonies. So that's happening in Jerusalem right now. But also it's an example to us. So I want to underline and emphasize that for all 7 days plus one, that's the day, the Simchat Torah, the joy of the Torah, that the Lord has instructed you and I, rejoice, rejoice. Say rejoice.
Rejoice.
So that's part of your instruction.
Yes.
And you could say, oh man, this is happening and this is happening. We got a challenge here and there. That doesn't matter right now. God says, rejoice.
Yeah.
And as we obey, He does the miracles. And may we release,
amen,
in the name of Jesus, miracles,
amen,
for every,
amen,
house. Miracles. We release,
yes,
healing,
Lord,
over every house,
amen,
here.
Lord,
and
Jesus,
those listening to us,
thank
on
you,
the
Jesus,
web,
thank
that
you,
there is a supernatural power of, mm-hmm, the Lord. Mm-hmm. That it says of the children of Israel, well, they had been captive and slaves even. Not just prisoners, but slaves. for 400 years. God delivered them overnight and loaded them with benefits, loaded them with silver and gold. All the awesome wealth of Egypt was transferred overnight into the hands of the people of the covenant, the Jewish people. So these are all some of the blessings. I will pray that you will rehearse them. And in the next few days, when you get up, write down, Lord, I'm so thankful that you've given me a kitchen that I can cook meals.
Amen.
For our family. Lord, I thank you so much that you've given us a wonderful car and we can go and do this and this, and I can deliver my son, my daughter at the school. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful house or this apartment that you've given me, that we can be sheltered. Note down the blessings that you have, and so count your blessings. Remember, we have a song, Count Your Blessings One by One, and this is a good time to count your blessings and give all glory to the Lord. They would look out of the sukkah, that kind of temporary tent, and they would see the supernatural light. They would be covered by the Shekinah glory cloud. Thousands of them at one time. And they would look and see the light and know, this is our God. This is my God protecting me day and night, covering me. So this is, may this be all year through. And so this morning,
thank you.
I want you to be thankful. And as you read in Leviticus, God, in every mention of the gathering, he says, and make sure you take an offering. This is this offering. This is this offering. And as we do the faithful in offering, the Lord himself is a shield to you. He is the reservoir of blessing and provision, supernatural. So that you may have abundance, abundance that used to be when we were being discipled in our young days. The word, one of the major words was abundance. Say abundance.
Abundance.
And so it's not just prosperity, but abundance to such a degree that all your needs are more than taken care of, and plus, plus, plus. So out of the plus, you are able to give to other, to neighbors who are hungry, those who are thirsty, those who need a help here or there. You are a receiver of the abundance of the living God. May that continue all year long, that each family watching us on the internet, each family here, that you experience the adventure of abundance. May you be prosperous, but may you be so blessed that you have plenty to give.
So, during the Feast of Tabernacles, it's what's called waving of the palms. You remember when Jesus entered Jerusalem, they were waving palms and they threw their palm branches and their robes in the street. They said, Hosanna, save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And in the Jewish tradition, it's four species. It was commanded to bring four species in Leviticus, in the Torah. And the understanding is that it's a testimony about fruitfulness and the impact of the Word of God in our lives. And so the four species, are, when we look at them or hold them and wave them, and in fact, in Revelation 7, it says, after the 144,000 are named, it says, I looked and a great multitude no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. So this was... that this is the Feast of Tabernacles, the final ingathering that John the Apostle is seeing, crying with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God. Hosanna. who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And it says, and all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures fell on their faces, worshiping God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. And then one of the elders said, where do all these people come from? And they said, these are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation in the earth and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And it says, and they are before the throne serving their God day and night in his tabernacle. And you look at the four species. This is the palm. This is why they call this the lulav. But this is lulav. And it has taste but no smell, and it's supposed to represent people who know the Bible but don't do it. And then the hadas or the myrtle is smell and no taste, and it represents people who do the right things but don't study the word, don't have a knowledge of the word. And then the willow is the one that has no taste and no smell, lacking both knowledge of the word and the fruit of the impact of the word in their lives. But this one, the citron or the etrog, this one is what in our scripture talks about fruit that remains. They're talking about this. And the reason is because it has everything. And as it grows on the vine, the longer it grows and ripens, the tougher its connection gets to the vine. You literally have to take something very sharp and cut it off in order to get this off of the vine that produces this sweet and fragrant fruit. So when your Bible...
So this one has a sweet aroma and tastes good.
And a lovely smell. And you have to cut it off of the vine. It is called in Scripture, where it refers to fruit that remains. It's actually, this is the symbol of fruit that remains because it awesome. Clings to the vine. And we are grateful that God is helping us to be faithful and helping us to be faithful here in the city. And as a result of prayers and efforts for many, many months, we had an amazing time of prayer and worship yesterday. And we would like to ask Cindy Decker to give just a brief report to the folks of what we witnessed yesterday in the center of our city.
Wow. So I just have to give a testimony on the Hosanna. I was just reminded, and Jenna, you'll remember this. Is Eliza here this morning? Well, I'm going to go back to the first Hosanna of the year, which was on April 5th. Which we celebrated the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. We left here, you know, we are fanatics here. We love to have fun in the glory and do prophetic acts. My husband got this window paint and painted the words Hosanna on the back window of his car. And we got palm branches that we took from church. And we got on the highway, and a few of us did laps around the city, declaring Hosanna. We were binding COVID. We were just declaring blessing over the city. And I haven't thought about that till this morning when I came in, because yesterday was so significant what happened in this city, that I felt like the Lord was tying this bow up in the beginning of the season of the Feast of Israel, we declared Hosanna. And then the Feast of Tabernacles is the end of the season of the feast until the cycle starts again, and we're declaring Hosanna. And we saw the fruit yesterday in our city square with government leaders and our law enforcement. And I tell you this, I said this to these leaders, I said this to the chief, the new chief of police. I said, this, for many of us here, is an answer to over 25 years of prayer over this city. This is historic. And it was the most unlikely collection of believers that normally would not assemble together, that came together to lift up the name of Jesus. And this idea, this is why it's so important to pray for our elected officials, because the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he will turn those hearts if we pray. These were city leaders that thought it was a good idea to do this. Little did they know, the believers in this city have been praying and praying for so many years, but such a powerful unity and a declaration with natural and spiritual authorities in alignment.
Yeah.
It was declared over this city for the peace, the safety, the well-being, the shutting down of the violence in our city. And I'm telling you, the potential for another explosion of rioting came this week into Charlotte. And everybody, all the officials, were prepared for the worst case scenario. And up until this point, and we believe it will continue, there has been no rioting.
Come on.
There has been no rioting.
Come on.
It is a powerful, obvious, it is without denial that the Lord has answered prayer and to show us, keep it up, church, because it's working.
Yeah.
This works. Prayer works. And the unity that was there yesterday, Pastor Bonnie was able, and she's working behind the scenes, connecting all of the dots with who the Lord has brought together with one voice. There was no compromise. It was unity of the spirit and unity of the faith. And it was powerful. I mean powerful. I was, and I still am, in awe of the Lord.
Yeah.
Like, did this really happen?
Yeah.
Did this happen? Like, I was saying this to people yesterday. This is happening. They were looking at me like, yeah, this is happening. You don't understand. This is history being made here this morning. So be encouraged.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, there is no more faithful church that I have seen in the public square, and that's where I have been for the last 3 years, than this church. We show up. We show up. Our faces are in the right places.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I'm just so thankful. I'm so grateful for this body, for this worship team.
Yes.
Pastors, you are leading in an apostolic work that has such powerful fruit. And we are literally shaping the course of our city and all the surrounding regions. So powerful, powerful testimony. I got photos on my Facebook page, and there's still more to come. And a lot of people that took photos, please post them. They're encouraging. I had so many people go, where was this? When did this happen? How come I didn't know about this? And these are not people in my church circles.
Right.
So it's important that we get the word out of what God is doing.
We had business leaders yesterday coming and absolutely astounded and so, so thankful that we had not had a new spate of violence as a result of the announcements here in the city this weekend. I mean, the city is like listening and looking, and the church is rising to shine in this moment with our city leaders and within our communities. And Michael and the worship team, we want to thank you guys again, because you led the way together with the Exchange Church, a beautiful and powerful collaboration of worship that set the atmosphere and provided a foundation for the prayers and for the people together. So praise the Lord. Thank you to everyone. Thank you for your prayers. Cindy, thank you for your tireless work as an ambassador in this city. And we bless the ongoing impact. because we know, as you said, the Lord is answering and his people are showing up. Praise the Lord.
And as it's exampled here for those watching all across this land and other lands, we have people watching us from Brazil, we have people from Korea and Kenya. I mean, it's amazing. But we speak blessing, shalom, and peace.
Amen.
Over your nation and over your city. That this is exampled here.
Thank
we are so
Jesus.
Grateful that God's presence is
Thank
covering
you.
Over our city, supernatural, and that there have been emissaries of darkness, but with God's grace, they have been bound. So on that basis, I do want to just encourage people. God continues to encourage us not only to intercede in the past, but now, today, and continue. Even a little bit is better than zero. So we are going to bless you, all those on the World Wide Web, that the shalom and peace of Jerusalem, as we have prayed for peace over Jerusalem, we speak, release shalom over your family, shalom over your children. I've been praying and seeing reconciliation. Many that children who have departed from the faith at the next few months are coming back in a supernatural way. The angels are being released for restoration. As we bless his city, he is in return blessing us, our cities, but our families also. May those that have been kidnapped by the power of darkness be rescued by the glory, by angelic powers, and families be restored. We are grateful that we can go continue to worship and to release victory. Just like 2 Chronicles 20, we will keep on exalting the Lord and keep on receiving the spirit of victory, and abundance is coming to every family in Jesus' name. So we want to keep on confessing and thanking and obeying God's command, who says, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. I don't feel like it. Go ahead and do it anyway. And the Lord's presence will be with you, faithfully giving you signs, wonders, breakthroughs. Hallelujah. We are grateful. And I pray that you have had time to make a donation, give tithes and offerings. Make sure you do give.allnationschurch.us and or write a check. We thank you, Lord. Do we take this home and then cut it up? What do?
You know, if you put that in your refrigerator, talk about fruit that remains, it will last for months and months and months and months and months. It will just slowly and just slowly, slowly shrink. But again, this is amazing. It is such a symbol of faithfulness, believing and trusting in the Lord, fruit that remains.
Amen.
You could put it in your refrigerator and get it out next year. It'll probably be about that big.
And the fragrance.
Or you could, eat it. Or
keep the bugs away.
Keeps the bugs away.
Good stuff.
It's very useful.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Oh, we love you. Thank you, All Nations Church, and our friends and family everywhere.
Let's stand.
Thank you, Jesus.
And then you can lead us in a worship song. Michael, Father, we bless each and every one in this congregation. Those who can't be here, we bless them too. Lord, multiply. I would encourage people on the web, share this service with others so that they could also receive a blessing and an impartation for healing. Keep that. Rejoice and keep rejoicing. And find things that you are thankful for and write it down each and every day. Find something specific to thank the Lord for. for this week. I think for the next few days, we're going to be using that as an exercise. Father, I bless each and every one. Lord, multiply a hundredfold the anointing and the grace. Let healings explode among us. Thank you, Father. You are so faithful. Jesus, we bow before you and give you all the praise and the glory in this awesome Feast of Tabernacles, that you are giving us the harvest, and even greater harvest is coming. We celebrate your goodness in the midst of the harvest, Lord. Let Jesus be made famous across the earth. Let Jesus Christ be exalted, and your power seen across the world, across the nations. Thank you, Lord. We welcome. Stay with us, Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.